2-1. Welcome to the podcast.
Whoa.
Welcome to Everything You Need to Know About Music, where tonight I'm sitting with my friend Greg. Say what's up, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Brad. Say what's up, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Tonight, I'm going to do a podcast aimed mostly at Brad, if I'm honest. But it's nice that you're here to chime in as needed, Greg. I'm really excited about that.
I'm here for
that. But we're going to do a podcast about a band I don't think that Brad knows. But it's really important that I do this for somebody like Brad because of the instrument that he is best at.
Ooh. Interesting.
That is interesting.
And I'm jealous of all horn players. So being that you're a trombone expert.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a lot of questions. And then I wanted to talk to you about what I think is the best horn band of all time.
Whoa.
Yeah. So let's start off by saying a few things. One, in the late 60s, early 70s, I know you don't know a lot of that music. For everybody that doesn't know Brad, Brad is, let's just say, under 20 years of age.
That is true.
Okay. So you are more than half of my age.
Yes.
Younger than me. That's
yes.
Good. Okay. All right. So in the late 60s, early 70s, there were elements of brass that started getting into rock songs. Prior to that, it was the old jazz standards, big band sound, and then there was rock and roll. You rarely would combine the two. Sometimes in blues, you'd get a saxophone, but you would never get a whole horn ensemble. Mm. That would be very rare. But there were some bands that really did it well, most notably, for example, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Listen to that horns. There's a lot going on in there,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Or, for example, because, I mean, there were songs that had a lot of rock and roll, a lot of heavy guitar, a lot of drums, a lot of bass, but there would be, all of a sudden, this horn section. Another really good example of that is this band. You may have heard this song. This is Chicago. Do you know
yes.
this one? Greg, I know you know this one.
Oh, yeah.
But listen to the melodies. Now, what they started doing was where... So here's the vocal. Then you have this horn line at the end of each verse, which is very similar to the way blues used to be. Mm-hmm. Blues used to be where they would say a line, and then a guitar would kind of fill in afterwards. Then they would sing another line, and then a guitar would fill in. But they're using the horns to do that, which is the first time, really, in rock and roll that it was kind of being done.
Which is pretty awesome.
Really awesome. I mean, that's at the beginning kind of phase of that.
Yeah, completely.
By the way,
changes
neither
it.
One of those bands is what the band we're going to talk about tonight.
Mm.
Okay, I'm just setting the stage. So, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Do you know this one?
What goes up?
Maybe.
Must come down.
Greg's nodding. He knows this.
Spinning wheel.
Okay.
Got to go round.
War, the Ohio Players, the Commodores, Cool in the Gang, Memphis Horns. These are all bands, but we're not talking about them. I'm just giving you those that used a lot of horns. And of course, I couldn't leave out the amazing James Brown. His horn section was insane.
I don't care about your past.
Or his other song that you probably might know. Right?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
these lines, right?
I feel good.
All right, we're not talking about any of those. We are talking tonight about a band called Tower of Power.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all new to me.
No?
Tower of Power.
Tower of Power.
Hmm.
Now.
Never heard of him.
Tower of Power in 1968 was formed by Emilio Castillo and Doc Kupka, two guys that played saxophone. One was a bari sax player, one was a tenor sax player. They became friends, and within a couple of months, they started a band called the Motowns. And they really wanted to play at some local venues, for example, like the Fillmore Auditorium. They had the Fillmore East and the Fillmore West. This was like a major place in the late 60s, early 70s for big bands that really made it.
Mm.
But they couldn't, they realized they couldn't call themselves the Motowns because most of them were white and they didn't play Motown music. They played rock music with soul elements and huge brass sections. So they changed their name to Tower of Power.
They really needed a marketing guy.
They really did. Yeah, they really right? I feel like they could have had a better name, but that's what they went with, Tower of Power.
Hey, it works.
So they made 22 albums.
Wow.
Whoa.
22 albums. Their first being East Bay Grease, released in 1970. I'm not going to play you any songs from that. But before we actually play a couple of the songs, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Because you and I have played on stage together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know a lot about music. But yes. See, I know very little about horns. So what I know is, you know, stacking horns, putting a trumpet with a trombone, with maybe a saxophone player, and then mm-hmm. adding some other elements and surrounding that. But tell me, like, how does one even begin to think about the elements of, like, horn lines and horn parts in a song? I'm fascinated by that. Like, the songs that I played you that have, like, these little stabs here and there of in the background, where does that come from?
I mean, I really don't know for sure. I mean, there's probably a lot of, like, testing, seeing which ones, like, fit together and which ones make, like, the right sound for what you want.
Right.
I mean, all of them do have their own distinct little thing that they have, like...
Is there certain blends that you think work better than others? Like, do you like the way, say, a trombone and sax or a trombone and trumpet work together? Or are there certain things that you like the sound of better than others?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I feel like... Just like all music is subjective, I feel like
right.
everyone likes different blends. I mean, why can't everything go together? You know,
I guess you're right. I guess there's always something that works.
Yeah,
right. When I worked in the studio with saxophone players and trumpet players, what we used to do was they would lay one line, and then you would double that line. So let's say you'd have a trumpet play a melody, we'd have them record it again, the same exact melody. So you would what we call double it. So now you have two trumpets,
mm-hmm.
and it's never quite the same, even if they're playing the exact same note, right? The breath's going to be different. The power's going to be a little different. Maybe the timing is ever so slightly different. So it does sound like there's two players.
Yeah.
And then you would even double that, and then you would do the same thing with saxophones. So you'd have, let's say, four at the end of the day, four trumpets, two saxophones, maybe two trombones, or even a barry, which is a really deep saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've got this full... like wide-ranging horn section. But these guys, Tower of Power, when they would do it live, all the guys were up there. So you'd
That's
have
crazy.
10, sometimes 12 guys in the horn section, which
wow.
is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. So, all right, let me get to it. I'm going to skip to their third album, okay? And... Before I do that, I need to talk about the guy who was their lead singer. So Tower of Power is a bunch of kind of horn-playing nerds, if I'm honest, that then decides they really like, they're from Oakland, California, but they really like soul music, hence the original Motown name. So they get this guy called Lenny Williams, and you may know Lenny Williams' song called 'Cause I Love You. I don't know if you heard this song, but listen to this guy's voice. This Baby, is not Tower of Power. This is Lenny Williams.
I'm thinking of you, trying to be more of a man for you.
Okay, I mean, we're talking a soul dude.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? All right. So they get him to sing their songs with this amazing horn background. Okay? And I'm going to just start off with what I think is their best song, which is called What Is Hip. Before I play the song, I want to play for you the horn lines soloed by themselves so that you can hear them. Because on their own, they sound a lot different than when they're actually implemented in the song. Because the song allows them to kind of go back and forth. You're going to hear a lot of bass. You're going to hear a lot of guitar. You're going to hear a lot of drums. And then you're going to hear these horns. But I want you to hear what the horns sound like by themselves.
One, two, three, go.
All right, that's the line, but now you've got inside of this song a guy who's playing straight 16th notes as a bass the entire song. It's one of the most energetic bass lines and one of the most famous bass lines of any song.
Really?
Yes. This guy's name was Rocco Prestia, and you want to talk about energy on a song, listen to this. Straight 16ths.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Here's your guitar. And here's the line. So you wanna jump out your There's Lenny Williams. Ease on into hip back, but you ain't just exactly sure what's hip. Those lines?
Yeah, that's
right. Think of how many different things are going on back there.
Right.
And how many different lines. When you hear something like that, like, do you know how intricate those horns have to be in order to make that sound?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that makes me wonder how they do live shows.
Right? Like, with all those guys up there doing that in time?
That's crazy.
The other thing that's so cool about Tower Power that is most known is a lot of times songs will kind of put the horns in the back. Like, they're low in the mix. They're not forefront. Whereas here, they're clearly like almost another person. They're a very strong voice of the song. I mean, it's just got full of energy and vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Think of the stamina you gotta have to keep that song going for 6 minutes.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. And live, they will stretch it out and have solos and keep going. It could be 12, 13 minutes long. I urge you to take a look at them live. It's nuts. And they're jumping around, dancing, like going crazy on the stage. The energy is fantastic. It's absolutely nuts. All right. So I told you I was going to be quick with this. So I'm going to keep going. So another song that, in fact, let's go to their biggest song, was called So Very Hard to Go. This was where they started. This is kind of the vibe that they had. And they wanted to be a soul, again, Lenny Williams, a soul group with horns. Listen. I can do. And you wouldn't know it's horns. I feel so bad. Yeah. Would you think Motown? So maybe, right?
Yeah. Got the feel.
I got to make it right. This was their biggest hit. Number 17 on the Hot 100 in July of 1973. And they never beat anything else but that.
When did this come out in their career?
Third album. It's just nice.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that, Barry? On this, or say, all right, 1974, you're still a young man, so really got into the soul, that soft soul, like smooth stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How many pieces is that? Three, four?
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
You're still a young man. Right? Isn't that nice? Oh, I'm sorry. That's just so soulful. It just makes me so happy.
It's awesome. You don't find something as authentic as this.
Right?
Today.
It's so special.
Yes.
And you know that those horns are not electronically done. You can feel the realness, right?
And like you said, they put them up front, so
they're so
it's like
prominent.
Another person in the band.
It is a focal point of the song of every song that they do. You know that they're there, so much so that I want to spend a couple of minutes finishing this Tower of Power podcast by showing you the other places that they actually existed. They played in more other people's songs than they did their own songs, because when songs needed a strong horn section, they'd call Tower of Power. So a lot of songs that you know that you didn't realize, oh, there's horns there, are Tower of Power players there really? Playing songs. So Tower's horn section has appeared on Otis Redding albums, Aaron Neville, Aerosmith, Bonnie Raitt, Eric Clapton, Elton John, Huey Lewis, Heart, Paula Abdul, Santana, wow. Stevie Nicks, Grateful Dead, Journey, Rod Stewart, Jefferson Starship, and many, many others. For example, I'm not going to say that you'll know this, Brad, because this is Santana from 1973. I don't think you're going to know this, but I know for sure now that you've heard all of that, you'll go, those are those players. Mm-hmm. So, Santana, Greg Raleigh on the Hammond. Santana said, I want to do a horn song. Everything's so guitar driven. Let's do something with horns. They call these guys in the middle of the night, and here's Tower of Power. I think now you'll hear some songs that have those similar stabs, those similarities like yeah. that you know. That's all from Tower of Power.
That's
crazy. They started this. They are the reason that songs sound like that. '74, Elton John decides he wants to do a song. The Bitch Is Back. Calls Tower of Power and says, you guys want to play some horns on the song? They go, yeah.
That's crazy.
Not as prominent and upfront, but you'll still hear it. '76, Rod Stewart went solo, had a bunch of this was his biggest album. Wanted Horns, called Tower of Power.
It's a great album.
On the Bitch Is Back, by the way, that Elton John song. Hold on. John Lennon played the tambourine. Which I thought was really cool. For no reason. He was just in the studio. He was like, do you need a tambourine player? And he played a tambourine. I thought it was pretty cool. All right. So you get the point.
Yeah.
You get the point.
That's pretty cool. The range of stuff that they're in.
They're in everything of the 70s. If there were horns present, other than the bands that I played you that were specifically horn bands, mm-hmm. like Chicago, Earth, Wind & Fire, Commodores, etc., that had a horn section, it was Tower of Power. Wow. It was totally Tower of Power. So I wanted you to learn that because I don't know... I'm curious if you would have maybe gone through life not knowing Tower of Power, even as a trombone player.
That honestly would have been sad.
Right?
It would have
because
been.
Because the roots kind of start there.
Yeah. No, it's really awesome.
Do you ever play some older soul kind of tracks or sounds into the stuff that you do? Ever?
I try to.
Yeah.
I mean, I love all types of music.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, I've listened to some oldies.
What's the main difference between the newer stuff, the stuff that you are playing now with the horn sections, and the older songs? Is there a defining characteristic, do you think?
I mean, like we mentioned earlier, there's definitely more like computer-generated like
yeah.
horns and whatever.
Yeah.
It's less authentic.
Yeah.
Only certain artists still keep that up.
Do you think confidently like you could pick out a digitized horn versus a real properly blown horn?
I mean, I honestly probably.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then lastly, because I've always wanted to ask you this, why the trombone?
The trombone's so like special. It's got the...
Why?
Well, when I was younger and first picking this up, I was like, it's got a slide. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's something to do more than just hit a button.
Yeah. And I also play piano. So that's got everything. And I just really wanted to like explore like the lower sounds of the instrument. Cause I always, you know, who doesn't love bass?
Right.
And trombone can go pretty low, but it can also go high.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a pretty cool one too.
Am I wrong in saying that the trumpet is one octave above middle C, like on a piano? Is that about where it lives? Am I wrong in that?
It might just be at middle C.
It might just be there? So are you a full octave or two octaves now and then?
No, I think I'm just one.
Just one. Okay. Okay.
But a lot of trombonists can play treble clef.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So walk me through how the trombone actually works then. Because I know nothing. As much as I love horns and almost require it to have for a song to be on my top 20 list, there needs to be a piano. There needs to be horns. And they need to be like these big stabs. Like the stuff I just played you really makes me happy.
Yeah.
But tell me how the trombone works. Like the closer the slide is or the longer, how does that work?
There's, you know, each note has its own spot and it definitely uses a lot of hearing. You have to be able to hear the note and hear the pitch so that it's not like, because technically
there's no distinction.
Like it's just a complete slide. There's no like hitches or things that you put them in to like
similar
get the
to
exact
like a,
sound. So it's a lot of ear. It like takes
like an unfretted guitar.
Yeah.
It'd be like a string with no designation of where the delineage between notes would be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then how do you know?
It's ear. To play trombone, you have to be able to play trombone well, you have to be able to hear.
So someone tells you we're going to start in the key of E, let's blow an E note. You know kind of where that is on the slide.
Yeah.
As far as how far out or in it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately you have to find it.
Yeah, it's not always the same because your instrument may be like sharp or flat. So then you have to like compensate for that with the slide. So it's like always different. You always have to be listening.
That's so different than every other horn, though,
right?
Huh?
Yeah, and the reason my like music teacher first recommended the trombone for me is because I do have good hearing.
Oh.
And that's why she thought it would be really good for me.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. So last question that I'm going to stop. I'm going to go with my bonus song. If you were to put together your favorite horn set, like structure, like a horn section, what are the pieces that you think are necessary? What's your favorite like ensemble to play with?
Ooh. Well, obviously there
obviously
have to
has
be
to be trombone.
And okay. trombone. Yes. I love the Barry sax, so
yeah.
That
something,
has to be
something
in
really
there.
Gritty and
yeah,
dirty about it. Yeah.
Honestly, I'd like just keep it short, sweet, simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't need to be too many.
No, I don't like it when it's too many.
Okay. All right. Because these guys are far too many, but they nail it.
Yeah. They have it so in time. It's hard to do that.
One trumpet's playing the line. They got a second trumpet playing the same line. Then the next trumpet's playing it in harmony. Sometimes those trumpets are playing a chord.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk about the difference between like just playing the notes and then someone else maybe playing it the same notes but in harmony.
Yeah.
Or in, you know, three part harmony where you're actually making chords as you go. I mean, it can get incredibly complicated and complex, right?
Mm-hmm. The golden star of like an ensemble like this is to make all of the instruments playing the same note sound like one.
Oh,
and so
wow, that's true. Huh?
Which that band Tower of Power did perfectly, which is cool.
Awesome.
That's why I like it.
All right, I'm going to take you out on a bonus song. Name of this song is You Got to Get Funkifies.
Ooh.
Okay?
Funk to Fries?
No, Funkifies.
Oh.
Funkifies. And You Got to Get Funkifies. So with that, I will say thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Whoa.